podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hey, hello. This is the Talking Tactics podcast. My name is Daniel.
It's your boy, HH.
We do this podcast every Tuesday. Remember to follow us on social media, Twitter at Talking Tactics, Facebook, Talking Tactics 352, Instagram at Talking Tactics. If you're on Spotify, give us a follow. If you're on Apple Podcasts, subscribe. It's free. Leave us a five-star review, and we will read it on the show. You wanted to say something?
I said, is this actually free?
How much is 10 seconds worth? Priceless, you might say. You know, we're not guaranteed our next 10 seconds, so it costs in that sense. What was I going to say? Oh, on Patreon, we're like a few dollars away from having some YouTube obligations. So if you guys want us to be back on YouTube, one of the perks on Patreon is if we reach, I think it's $100 a month, Half Hope and I will record some YouTube content for you guys. So if you want to see our lovely faces, although maybe you see Half Hope's too much. This guy's always on. Like yesterday he did a live stream on Pep, and I realized by like hour two, like I'm not built for this 3-4-5 hour stream life. So I had to dip. But yeah, man, if you want to see us on the Talking Tactics YouTube page, throw something in the collection plate and we'll be there for you. So yeah, and thank you to all the Patreons that give with even out the benefits, just they get the extra. So big up to you guys. I'll let you pick, because there's a few places we could start, but
no, Daniel, man, you pick. I'll follow, man. I trust you, bro.
Where's the best place? Let's start with Grealish. Should City buy him?
When you say that should, as in like, should this, are you saying that it should be like,
is he necessary for their team to progress?
No.
And at that fee, like if it's 30-40 million, of course you buy him.
No.
But for 100, that's the question.
The money already, like they need Kane more than they need Grealish, because in Gundogan, in De Bruyne, in Foden, in Mahrez, in Silva, you have a lot of guys that can do what Grealish can do, probably better than him. But in that team, you don't have a guy who can sleepwalk 20-25 goals a season for you. And maybe that goal scorer could be a difference maker for you in the Champions League. So Grealish is not a guy who can, oh, he's going to, no, because there are little guys better. Like De Bruyne is better than him. When Silva's on the form, he's better than him. Gundogan is better than him. But he'll have to improve the team. But, you know, you're like, it's not a need. A need is Kane.
Are you a fan of buying a player because he's available more so than buying him because you need him? In other words, let's say you know Jack Grealish is available and you don't want him to go to Chelsea. You don't want him to go to Liverpool. You don't want him to go to Manchester United. You don't want him to go to... Those are basically the only options in the Premier League. So if you're Manchester City and you have a player who wants to come to your club that you can kind of sort of afford, even if you don't need him, or he's not the top priority, let's get him before somebody else does, or we miss the chance in the next summer. Now more teams are in.
Yeah, I mean, but that's sort of a cheap way to roll, isn't it? You know, it's like, oh my gosh, let's get him before. I mean, that's what maybe like a band do, like, oh, we're going to buy this guy so that these dudes don't get away, kind of weaken them. But if you believe in the quality of your team, I'm like, yeah.
What happens with somebody like Bernardo Silva or Mahrez or Sterling or what have you? Like, what are the ramifications for those players if Grealish comes in? Grealish he's not going to play in midfield, is he? For Pep?
So, no, Grealish, now he's probably going to take Bernardo Silva's position, I assume.
Why do you do that with your S's, man? Have we ever talked about, like, a shoe? I can't even do it, but, like, the way you make your S's.
Oh, yeah, no. That's, what's it called? It's, I had this, I think he was from Zambia. Or was it Zambia or Zimbabwe? Like, one of the best issues I've ever had. I even remember, yeah, Lloyd Lushinga. He must have been from Zambia. And he taught me, because I think I was doing a course on marketing. So he taught me international marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And he always used to go like, you know, you need to do good quality research. And ever since then, it just stuck with me. So like, yeah. But bloody good teacher, man. Amazing teacher.
Shout out to all the good teachers.
Yeah, shout out to Mr. Lo Shinga, man, wherever you are.
I don't even know if you realize you do it, but you do it. So.
Oh, no, I do. Like,
oh,
I
was know, conscious? Like, okay.
Yeah. Like, I've been doing it for years. I'm like, I think even my brother said that's annoying.
It depends on the word, but it's funny. So, yeah, I Silva is the guy that you're looking at. Like, maybe less so Mahrez, maybe less so Sterling. But Bernardo, he hasn't been great in the past, what, 18 months? Since the pandemic, I guess he hasn't been great. So his first season after he left Monaco was pretty good. Where do you think he could go?
And which club he could go to?
Yeah, he seems like a player that will eventually end up at Wolves. I don't know if he's signed to Mendes.
Or the whole Portugal thing.
Dude, if Traore goes to Spurs or someplace, it wouldn't surprise me if he signed with Mendes, which I don't know, but if he ends up at Portugal North.
I think either Sevilla or Dortmund would actually suit his style very well, but I don't think he'd want to go there from Man City. But if you're Silva and the World Cup is coming up next year, you're like, bro, I want to play regularly. Because if you don't play regularly, I'm in probably one of the most competitive teams in football now. Because to make that first team in Portugal is hard. And they even have some guys who didn't even go to the Euros who were in the under-21s. So in order to be in Santos' favor, like, man, I need to keep playing and really play regularly. So
out of 10, how highly do you rate, or how low, perhaps, do you rate Jack Grealish? I'll tell you, I rate him at a 7, like a strong 7.
Yeah, for me, I would say 7.5, around there. You know, the guy is a good player. But for me, my thing is that it's hard to rate him because...
Villa?
Yeah, it's like you have... Because again, it's Villa, so it's like, oh, well, he's doing good based off... And Euros, he hardly played. So this is why the City move is going to be so good for him, because it's like, aha, there's no hiding. You don't have to say what's up.
Yeah, I think his style of football translates into basically any team, which is good control, knows how to win fouls, has a football brain. It's just, how does that work inside the construct of a team that's already assembled? At Villa, you're the guy, so they work around what you do best. At City, you have to figure out, how do I help this team? And we'll see how that fits, if it happens. The reason we go, if Harry Kane decided not to show up to training today, maybe it was during the Euros or just after. Harry Kane doesn't have that kind of temperament. He's not that kind of player. I don't see him doing or just being a nuisance. Like, people just assumed Harry Kane would be the choir boy. He signed a 6-year deal or a 6-year extension with Spurs. You know, he's stuck. And he's not the type of player to force it. I guess that was wrong. I think he's 27. Don't quote. You can't stay 2 more years and be 29. Now, we know perhaps that strikers are lasting a little bit longer. If we look at Lewandowski or Benzema, like, you can play well into your 32s, 33s, 34s. But your peak years, Kane's in them. Like, this is the best he'll probably be. And there's an argument to say his best years were 2-3 years ago because of how he plays through injuries and just the kind of the miles on the clock, so to speak. This would be an ideal summer to dip. And if you're Spurs with Nuno coming in, that would be a great 120, 130, however much money it would be. That would be great to help him rebuild the team. Like, obviously you want his goals, but Spurs need work. You got the Sun extension, so you have at least one player who you could look at and be like, we could build around that and attack, but fill the gaps. And in many instances, over the course of the last 3-4 years when Harry Kane's been out, how much have Spurs really suffered? They damn near won the Champions League without him. In fact, if you don't start him in the Champions League final, you might win it.
So you say that Spurs can survive without him?
Yeah, the same way that they got rid of Bale and they got better.
Oh, no. I mean, no. It would be cataclysmic for Spurs. I mean, cataclysmic is a strong kind of, but it will affect them greatly. He scores too many goals. He scores too many goals. For a guy that scores those amounts of goals, because, see, my thing is that this isn't like Real Madrid where, okay, you have really good players. So whether it's Mendy, Casemiro, Ramos, Benzema, who can, because they're so good, they can find a way of getting those goals. Apart from Son, who else is going to fill in to get all those goals?
Again,
it's not like if they're going to get relegated, but no, you're going to feel the hits because you don't have the kind of quality of players who can come in and step in and fulfill all those goals and everything, you know.
Put it this way, Kane scores a bunch of goals. They don't win anything. Why not try to see what happens without him? It's the Ewing theory. Well, this is a lot of money we're talking about. It's like over 120, no doubt. Now, obviously, everybody's going to know you have 120. So how can you spend it wisely, I guess, is a question in and of itself. And I guess you could look at the bail sale and you could look at the players that they bought. And you could say, I think maybe like one or two of those players did well. Eriksen and was Dembele in that lot? Moussa Dembele? Maybe not. But that was like Chadli, Kira Kesh, or however you pronounce his name, Paulinho, Soldado. Like there was a bunch of misses. But, you know, so you could say getting a bunch of money isn't necessarily a blessing, especially when everybody knows you have all the money. But if you're not winning anything with him scoring those goals, perhaps it's his goals have been papering cracks in the squad. Like your defense needs work. Is Hugo Lloris really the best? How good is your midfield really? But because Kane is such a great volume scorer, that can paper crack and get you draws when you were going to lose and wins when you were going to draw. You get rid of Kane and now you have money. Maybe you tailor the team better and that can help you in the longer distance rather than the shorter distance. But in any event, it's good for Kane because he needs to go, if only for his own development, his own career. You know, you only have so many years. You don't want to waste 2-3 more at Tottenham. No disrespect to the Tottenham fans out there. Not saying that your club's not like one of the top 6 or 7 in England, but you know, there's levels to this. Man City's clearly a better place to be in 2021. So, I don't know what to say really, other than I'm surprised that he actually just was like, nah, I'm not showing up. And I think I read that he got fined. So, you know the consequences, but it's what you got to do to kind of force the issue. So, but you seem, are we proud of him in a way?
Proud of Kane.
Yeah, by just like taking his career into his own hands in a sense, like not being, what's a good substitute for that word? Just not being soft, like not being or willing to show some intent that might make people uncomfortable. I think it's a good thing. He can see the bigger picture. I think sometimes we might think that the players, they're just so locked in on the moment that they don't have a reference for the moment that they're in terms of their career. And he can clearly see like this, I hope this is evidence that he sees this moment as somehow pivotal in his career, that I need to leave now. So how do I do this with 2 years left on my deal? I'm not going to show up. I hope he has the, what is it, testicular fortitude to stay and not be bullied back. And you better hope that City have the funds, which they do. So
the way he can be taken seriously, be viewed as world-class, as if he leaves Tottenham, as long as you start pad. Skip scoring goals and so forth. He can score 50, 60, 70, 80 goals at Tottenham. He will never be regarded as world-class because club isn't really putting you in a position where you can now be fully, properly judged as to what you can now do in these high-pressure situations, you know, so.
I don't agree. I don't agree. I think people recognize that he is world-class. It's
I don't care what people recognize. I'm talking about facts, man. So if all that, all because some people on Twitter or media say he's not, he isn't world class because you've not done
enough. He is.
Situations. So
City wouldn't spend.
He's an EPL merchant. He's not world class. He's an EPL. He's a great EPL player. He's not world class. So
he's world class, man.
No, he's not.
Is he top five in his position? Has he been top five in his position for the past few years?
Well, no, the dependence on what? Just purely goals or what you've done in high pressure situations? Based on high pressure situations,
based on the people in his position. He's a top five player in his position. You can't name five better strikers in the world.
He's not seeing the conversation because he's not been battle tested. So even if you start,
that's dependent on his team, though. That's dependent on his team.
Leave then. Then leave.
Is it? That's the point. Like,
if you're in that quarter, like what against Zagreb, you had an open goal line and you missed, so you flopped.
Yeah, but he scored against Juventus. He scored against a bunch of teams. Like, it's not like he hasn't performed against big teams. So let's not make that lie. What is your definition of world class? Has this changed since the last time we talked about it, which was top five in your position for the past 3 years?
A mixture of consistency, but mainly performing in high pressure situations, big games, difficult games, degree of difficulty.
So the only world class players are moments players for you.
A small mixture of your consistency, but mainly what you do in high pressure situations. So you do need to be consistent to a degree, but also how you perform in the biggest moments against the toughest teams.
Would you concede that that's not how the majority of people look at world class? I'm not saying that you can't have your own definition. I'm not saying you can't have your own definition. I'm just saying, do you accept that that's not generally what people think of when they hear the words world class?
I don't care what the majority thing. That's not my.
I'm not asking you to care. I'm asking you to, like, what do you think when people say world class? Not what is it?
I have no idea. No, I don't know. Whenever I see world class, I just use my definition. There isn't actually a definition, because you ask different people, they actually have a different definition of a world class.
I'm saying the general consensus isn't you're just great in big moments with a little bit of consistency sprinkled in. Most people would say the reverse.
Then most people are wrong, which is
you're great consistently, and then you have moments sprinkled in.
And then most people are wrong. Then most people say that Cristiano Ronaldo.
I know what you mean. I know what you mean because I've talked to you for years. I understand, but for generally speaking, most people would consider that Harry Kane is world class. Now, obviously, you're going to jump on me and say that they're wrong, which is fine. You can have that opinion, but I would say I'm in the opposite camp. Harry Kane is a world class striker. Like, the reason that you would want him at Chelsea, that you were campaigning for Chelsea before Haaland was a thing, is because you recognize what he could do for your club. The reason he's a target for Man City is because people realize what he can do for the club. The reason he was been linked with Manchester United and all these different types of clubs is because people recognize if he comes into our club, he's going to bang goals. Why? Because he's a top five striker. He's top five in his position. You wouldn't choose five strikers over him. Now that you, there aren't that many to choose from, but you wouldn't call him what, sixth best in the world? It's Lewandowski, Benzema, Lukaku, Kane, Haaland. Those are the five. You're not taking anybody else and putting them in. So my definition of world class: have you been consistent for the past few years? That's three or four. And are you top five in your position? Or can the argument be made that you're top five in your position? If you meet that criteria, I give you the label. Because really and truly, it's not that deep. It's just a label. Where we want to go to next? I mean, we're with strikers, so let's keep it going. What's the saying? Another day, no new striker. Oh, is that what it is?
No new striker.
how long are you gonna be waiting, man?
Bro, it's not looking good, bro. It's not looking good.
I saw someone make the argument, and I find it somewhat compelling. People are quick to blame Marina Granovski. If you don't know who Marina Granovski is, if you hear Chelsea fans talk about Marina, she's the director of Chelsea Football Club. So, and she makes the transfers, and she has maybe not final say, but like next to last say behind Abramovich. And people complain, or it's weird. It's a weird thing with her where she gets a lot of credit for like the sales she makes, but also credit or blame rather, for things that she doesn't do, which is, I guess, just the life of a football director. And someone made the argument that you can't blame Marina for this, the Haaland stall or impasse, I guess would be the word for this. If Abramovich wanted Haaland, he could make it happen. He has the influence and money to where whatever Dortmund ask, he could make it happen. So the fact that it hasn't happened is because Abramovich isn't willing to pull the trigger on that money. And I find that a compelling argument that if the billionaire owner who has the funds and is willing to pay however much money, I think you said last week, like 50 million to agents and fathers and things like that. If he doesn't have the money, or if he has the money and doesn't use it, then it can't be on the director. It's on the owner. Dortmund have a price. pay the money. If you go to try to buy a painting or something, the artist or whoever it is, there's a price. If you want a Rembrandt, there's a price for it. For selling the painting for $500 million, bro, that's the price. Either you get it or you don't get it. And that's what it is with Haaland at this point. Look, the price is 120, 130. Do you want him or don't you? So for me, it's not really on the director at that point. It's on the owner, who we know has the cash.
So you're saying Marina is not to blame?
She's not the only one.
She's not the only one. She's not the only one.
If I had to give us like a pie, I would put like, okay, maybe we can give 5% to Dortmund, who are being American like stingy. Pie. We could give 45 to Marina, maybe. I don't know what her role exactly is in this particular negotiation. And then the other half is the owner, man. Just find the money. We know you got it. It's not going to dent your pockets. And you'll get some of the money back with marketing. And I don't know how much money you get from jersey sales, but you'll get it back, especially if he wins the club things. It's mostly on Abramovich for me, man. Spend the cash.
It's not. Roman isn't willing to spend the cash?
I think so. Otherwise, why hasn't it happened?
We just don't know. Like, you know, my thing is that who knows? Unless you know the truth, who knows?
They've had 3 months. When was the last game? May? June, July? It's August. So 2 months and some change. Just give Dortmund the money they want. They've shown with Sancho, you give them the money, they'll sell the player. Dortmund are a selling club, aren't they? Right?
Si, senor.
If you give it... So they sold Götze, Lewandowski, all the Hummels to like direct title rivals. You telling me if you don't pull up the Brinks truck with the money inside, they'll sell Haaland to Chelsea? Come on, man. So I'm like, who controls the money? It's Abramovich. Because you control the money, I'm looking at you.
I think you know, I mean, it is looking like that. It could probably be Lukaku now. Which, look, a striker is better than Werner, man. And anyone is better than a freaking dude, man. But
did you watch the preseason game?
Yeah.
You know what? I don't even want to say it. I can't. Because if I say it, then people are going to be like, ah. So, no, I can't. But there was, I saw some good things in that preseason game that led me to believe, and that's all I'll say. But no, if Lukaku came, then everybody there can leave. Tammy can go to Arsenal. Missy can go to Turkey. Werner can go to...
anywhere, bro. Take your pick, anywhere.
Columbus Crew. You know what? You need to learn the names of MLS clubs. Some of them are funny. I don't know. They could be useful for your YouTube channel. But yeah, Lukaku, I think I saw the number was Chelsea will have to pay at least 100 million. If Chelsea pay over 100 million for Lukaku, then the problem with Haaland wasn't Chelsea. It was Dortmund's insistence on not letting him go. Because clearly then Chelsea do have the money and are willing to spend it. If Lukaku doesn't come and the number is still 100 or somewhere in that region, then the problem is Chelsea not being willing to spend.
And so what do you think it is then? If it's hazard, I guess, what do you think it is?
I think it's Chelsea trying to be cute.
And not offering. Honest.
Just trying to save 10, 20, 30 million here or there. Because I think, again, Dortmund are a selling club. If you give them the number they want, they will sell you the player and decide, we trust our scouts, we trust our academy, we trust whatever it is. We can go out and we can get the next one. I don't think there is a next Haaland, but we'll go out and we'll find somebody who can bag goals because strikers at Dortmund score goals. We'll be fine. Chelsea are thinking, I mean, they're asking 140, but I mean, maybe we could get it for 120. Maybe we could get it for 110. We could put some things in the deal. Maybe we could throw this player in, that player in. Look at the Kayunde deal.
Yeah, what's it called? The one was like with like a Zuma swap.
Exactly. Now, Zuma doesn't want to go to Spain. So what does this mean? Chelsea and Sevilla were negotiating. You give us Kayunde plus 30 million or 40 million, we'll throw in Zuma. Zuma or his people hear this and be like, whoa, what do you mean throw me in? Mm-hmm. I'm not going to Seville. Like, what? Why? To help you for what?
Yeah, no.
Then the deal stalled because now I guess the evaluation for Zuma was 35 million euros, which is accurate. So now Chelsea are going to be forced to pay 70 million up front. I think his release clause is somewhere around 80. So they were trying to be cute by throwing somebody in, but they didn't consult. So this is what Chelsea are up to. They're trying to be cute and save a few. But I'm like, bro, you guys, you finished top four. So you got money there. You won the Champions League. We know the deeper you advance into UEFA competition, the more money you make. So you guys have the cash, and they're selling youth players left, right, center. They sold Guehi. They sold Tomori. They just sold some left back or right back to Southampton. Like, they've made 60 million pounds in the transfer window, somewhere near there. Bruh, y'all got cash. So why are y'all being cheap with it?
You know, no, because that's the shocking thing, because I really believe that, hey, man, Chelsea, they have the money. They'll pay, and then boom, this is – there's nothing to be – but obviously, man, seems as if they're not willing to pay that cash, which is
they're being tight. They're being tight with the bread. Like, I don't get it, because this is like the perfect opportunity to spend the money if you have it. By the way, I don't want this to turn into a Chelsea thing, but do you know Chelsea have 19 players that are currently in the squad that have 1 year left on their contract?
Oh, yeah,
19 players.
Wait, does that include Tammy?
Yes. I can't name all 19, but basically the whole defense has 1 year left on his contract. So Christensen, Silva, Rudiger, Azpilicueta all have 1 year left on their contract.
Oh, Aspie.
Yeah, 1 year left. Then Bakayoko has a year left. Mishi has a year left. Tammy has a year left. Ross Barkley has a year left. Charlie Musonda has a year left, and then there's, you know, youth players here, there. Ike Ugbo, Lewis Baker, J. Clark Salter. There's just a bunch. There's a bunch of players that have 1 year left on their deal. So it's a question of resources, essentially. Like, how many people, I wonder, in Chelsea Football Club work on transfers and contracts and things of the sort? Chelsea will not loan you to a club unless you're willing to sign an extension. Otherwise, you'll leave for free on the end of the loan, right? So you have to sign an extension. This is what happened to Mishi and Bakayoko and all the Barkley last year. They signed 1 year contract extensions, then went on loan. Chelsea were thinking, you do well on your loan, we sell you. Nobody wanted to buy, or Chelsea didn't get the evaluation that they set. So now they're kind of stuck. And if I'm a player, I'm not signing an extension. Remember with Lampard, I think Rudiger was going to leave, but he wasn't willing to sign the extension to put another year on his contract. So he's just riding it out. And he's played well enough to maybe get an extension, but it's in his hands whether or not he wants to stay. But the point is, imagine having to try to find homes for, of those 19 players, I'd assume like 5 or 6 will stay. Emerson's another one who's a year left on his contract. Some of those are squad players. They'll be in the squad. But you got to find homes for 13 dudes, and then you have to make all of them sign contract extensions? The people who are doing transfers, like trying to get a Haaland, trying to get a Lukaku, I would assume those are the same people who are trying to find loans and trying to get people to sign contract, because they're always – the same people are in the pictures. Marina's always in the picture with the jersey. So maybe I would think that some of her efforts must be having to work on – the players in-house, as well as trying to get people outside the house. And I think maybe that could be part of the hiccups here. But who knows? What was the other player? Messi. I think if you're 30... How old is Messi? He's born in, what, 87? If you're 33, 34 years old, I'm not signing a contract during the summer. Because if I sign the contract, you know what I have to do? I have to show up. I have to train. I don't feel like training. Okay? I'm old. I'm the GOAT. Let me enjoy my trophy. The day before the season starts, like the actual season starts, or maybe like a week before, so I can do a little bit of, you know, recovery and fitness. Then I'll sign my contract. If Messi signs his contract now, he has to go with the team and do preseason and all that stuff. Yeah, look, man, I'm on the islands. I'm chilling with my wife and my kids. You see him in his garden playing football with the, yeah, I'm playing football with the children. People are saying his kid is already going to be the next this, that. Like, he's just training, you know. He's imagine Messi is running Project Messi at his crib. But, yeah, I think he's just enjoying the summer, and he doesn't want any commitment to Barcelona because that starts a snowball of now I got to do shoots and I got media obligations and all this kind of stuff that I really don't feel like doing. I have to give a speech maybe, or you know what? Let me just not sign and let me just wait for as long as I can. And I'm pretty sure that's what's happening with Messi. He's going to be a Barca player, but under his own terms on his own time.
Well, Barca needs to produce the funds, isn't it? You know, they got to produce them funds, bro.
Did you see Dembele is going to sign an extension but reduce his money?
Oh, so the US is going to reduce his money.
That's the thinking. He'll sign an extension but lower his money, which should help the club do what they do.
Does he want to do that or he's been forced to do that?
Laporta is what people are saying. You know, Laporte, they put a W.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, man, that's what's going on with Barca. Messi, Barca fans, Messi will be there, man. Messi will be there.
You look at the whole Mbappe Pogba thing, you know, I think probably what's most likely going to happen is there is a possibility Real gets Haaland for 70 million next summer and Mbappe and Pogba on a free. I think that's the big plan.
Dino, that reminds me.
Do we do Super League?
You took it out of my brain, bro. Yeah. But no, we can stay there and we can stitch it together. The way that these clubs, especially the Spanish ones, are going about trying to save money, it gives you the idea that because of the television rights deals and all of these types of things, English clubs can survive during a pandemic. It might not be as simple as it would have been, but they can survive. If Barca and Madrid are struggling in this pandemic, I wonder what's going on in the other, you know, the other 17, 16, 15 clubs nobody really cares about, unless you're really, 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 really into Spanish football. You know, we got the Sevillas and the, you know, Atleticos and all those clubs. But, you know, if you're Granada, I was trying not to say Lugo because they're not in the first division. But Huesca and all these kinds of dudes. I wonder what's really going on, which then makes me think, is Florentino's whole plan, if we can get these dudes for free next summer, then let's just write off the season. Let's start the rebuild now. Why not? So Ramos, thanks, but you can go. Varane, thanks, but you can go. Modric, 1 year left on his contract. Benzema, but let's start the rebuild now. So Carlo, you're going to come in for a year and just do me a favor. Is Carlo the guy who's going to lead Madrid for the next 3, 4, 5 years? Probably not, but look, Zidane wanted to leave because he saw that we're doing a rebuild. We don't have the money to give him to help the team, so he's got to go. Who do we bring in? They wanted Mourinho, but Mourinho was already contractually signed to Roma, or maybe he even rejected Madrid to go to Roma. Who knows how that works? So who's next? Well, let's bring in Carlo again, and let's see what happens. So next summer, Perez is thinking, like, if we can keep Mbappe without signing an extension at PSG, if we can keep Pogba at United without signing an extension at Manchester United, and if we can keep Haaland at Dortmund and know next summer he has the clause in his contract where we can get him for 70 million euros and hopefully by then we'll have more money, why wouldn't we do that? And then what if we have the Super League worked out in a year?
Mm.
Now we're looking pretty good. Obviously, we're going to have to pay people in their wages, but if we remove the Benzema weight, well, you probably re-sign Benzema depending on his form, but let's say we've already removed the Ramos and Varane wages off the books. Let's say we can get rid of the Marcelo's the other players who has a year left on his deal. We get rid of the Marcelo wages. We get rid of the Modric wages. We get rid of the Benzema wages. We get rid of, who knows, if they can sell Hazard or do something. Bro, we have money to spend in terms of on our squad, because obviously players who come for free get more money in terms of wages because the agents negotiate it that way. I look at that and I think, you know what? If you can hold things together for the next 12 months or even 6 months, because you can start signing pre-contracts in January, bro, why not? It's a risk. It's a gamble because Chelsea are trying to get Haaland. PSG are trying to get Pogba. So there are risks. But Real Madrid, the lure of Real Madrid would make me think Pogba would hold out for that. Haaland would hold out for that. Mbappe would hold out for that because Real Madrid is just the creme de la creme.
Right. The pool.
Yeah, they got the juice, like more so than anybody else. So if that's his plan, that's a hell of a plan. That's what's Galacticos 3.0?
Well, 2.0. Cristiano people, they weren't really Galacticos, really.
What do you mean? They got Figo, Ronaldo, Zidane, Beckham.
Well, yeah, that's
the first generation. Then they went and got Kaká, Benzema, Ronaldo, and that has to be a Galacticos.
No, it's basically you had a washed Kaká. Benzema was still a young guy from Lyon who was unproven, and I'm sorry, like a guy from Wales can be a Galactico. So when you say Luis Figo, who was one of the best, probably the best winger in the world.
I got you, but I'm counting those. It's like an attempt. It's an attempt at Galacticos. So yeah, there you go. And it was more successful. So maybe it could be Galacticos in the terms of like they got done what the original one was supposed to do. The original Galacticos were supposed to win the four Champions Leagues in 5 years, or 5 and 5 if you ask them. But they just got the one, and I think they won one La Liga, maybe two. Yeah, but I'm going to count that. Florentino, when he was trying it again, if he can get it, Mbappe, Haaland, Pogba, winger, striker, central midfielder, I guess you would kind of have to sort the defense out. But you're giving yourself a season to see what emerges with Militao. And, oh, they signed Alaba. Yeah, I wouldn't count him as a Galactico. But, you know, it's a good piece to have if you don't know what's coming next summer, because he can play in multiple positions. So Courtois is obviously going to be there for the next decade. So, all right, Super League, though. What were your thoughts when they dropped their their press statement? I love this, to be fair, but I'll let you
know. I mean, no, look, I'll say again. Surprise, surprise, man. I mean, they were right. Like, UEFA were wrong. Like, they didn't do anything unconstitutional. They didn't do anything wrong. They didn't do anything illegal. So the whole thing was just about how you package it and how you release it. But it just shows you that they have a legal right to determine their future, because, you know, it's like we want agency and control over the money that we generate based off the popularity and engagement of our institution. And why is this arbitrary external institution hoarding all this money that is made off of us? Because the reason why you make all the money is because we want to see Real Madrid have such a massive fan base. Barca have a massive fan base, Juve, all these guys, you know. So, but you can hit Paris all you want, man, but the guy has a point. The guy has a point. I mean, they're not exactly the good guys, but neither are UEFA.
Exactly. See, that's the nuance. Like, there's no good guys here. Who's less worse? I don't know. I don't know who's less worse. My gut feeling is always to go against the established evil. And like, let's just see what the new evil is saying, because maybe the new evil might be a little bit better. So my heart wants to say UEFA are the bad guys here. And just if Florentino and his crew are bringing good ideas to the game or to the sport that can help the players first and foremost and the fans secondarily, then let's go. Let's see what the Super League is saying. But are we just trading one slave master for another? Like, there's no freedom, but you get to choose. You want to work for Sheffrin? You want to work for Perez? I don't know, which is why I'm kind of stuck with it. I can say this. The changes that UEFA have made in the past few months with, like, no away goals and just the little sneaky decisions that they've made, they're doing small incremental changes that when you look back, you'll think, what game is this? But it happens so slowly that you might not even notice the changes that have been kind of picked away. Whereas the Super League was like, bam, like here's a whole new thing. And maybe that's a little bit too jarring or jolting for people. But look, when they said, we know we need to work on it, or something to this effect, like we want to work with people to make sure that it's better. Like they basically realized that there were some errors in it. If that error that they realized was promotion relegation and how to fix that, which, I mean, when we talked about the Super League, we came up with ideas. So it's not that difficult. You just have to want to do them. Then let's see. And if the clubs who signed are contractually negotiated to play, or they have to pay 100, 120, 150 million euro fines, then the... Imagine how many was it? 12 teams. So what's 9 times? Let's call it 120 million. I'm gonna let Spotlight help me. That's 1 billion euros. Imagine if Juventus, Barcelona, and Real Madrid took those 9 teams to court and said, "You got to pay us. You signed the contract. If you're not going to help the league, then you have to pay these fines." They'd obviously sue, and those 3 teams could be awarded or split £1 billion, or 1 billion euros, rather. What if that was the goal all along? Now, that would be like some 3D chess, bro. If Fiorentina was like, look, we get them to sign the contract. We're not going to explain it too well. The people aren't going to like it. It's going to go up in flames, but we stay. Us three, we stay. And then I know a judge in Madrid who's going to rule our shit legal, which then gives us the foundation to sue. Or we get what we want all along, which is the actual toppling of the UEFA Champions League. So either way, it's a win-win for Madrid, Barca, Juventus. Because they'll have the legal standing to say, we deserve the money. What we did was legal. They agreed to it, and they shorted us on the business end.
So it's a nice quick money making scheme, a quick buck.
In the worst case, and it won't be quick because they'll drag it out in courts. But look, if the worst case scenario is we get 9 football clubs to give us 333 million euros, hey. That will solve all of the financial situations they have.
And you can't really hit on them for it, man, because it's like, if a contract is a contract, you know.
Exactly. You signed.
This is the contract that, you know, if you leave and so forth, these are the repercussions you're going to have.
Bruh, Chelsea, Arsenal, Liverpool, United, City, Tottenham. Who are the other ones?
AC Milan,
Inter Milan, and Atletico, must be. Mm-hmm. They all released press statements. We are happy to join the Super League. They had a whole website with their crests and badges. So they that's proof that they were happy and willing to join this thing. And then 2-3 days later, then they backed out due to public pressure or whatever it was. But bro, you signed the contract, you released a statement publicly. So you said you wanted to do this. We are happy and excited and willing to see what the next steps in European football is. They were willing to put UEFA on the back burner for money. But now that it's legal, we got paperwork. And Florentino has always been saying, they signed the thing. They signed the paperwork. We have contractual agreements with all of these clubs. You can't leave. He said that from the jump. Remember when he Madrid Zone or whatever the thing is, they were like translating his interview, because he doesn't do that many interviews apparently. First he went on what's that show?
Chiringuito with the
ring. Chiringuito, yeah, the guy that does the hand rub. that's a great meme, man. That's a great meme. And by the way, I'm sure we talked about this, but Hazard was right to laugh, man. Like, come on, he can't have fun with his teammates. Either way, he went on that show and did the interview. Then he did an interview on radio. And the whole time he was saying, they can't leave. We signed contracts. If they got the paperwork, I don't care what anybody says. In law, contracts are everything. Paperwork is everything. You can't say that's not my signature. especially if we have proof that you, like, on the Chelsea website, on the Arsenal website, like, bro, y'all came out and said, like, this is what we're doing. And then you backtracked. The Liverpool owner, the Fenway Sports Group dude, they had him do like a hostage video. We're really sorry. We misjudged. We didn't understand. Like, we're really sorry. We won't do it again. You have a whole apology. Well, what are you apologizing for? Doing what you said you would do on a contract. I think those three teams are in a pretty good place. I got to give you credit, man. I got to give you props just quickly before we go. Your point about people say, you know, it'll be boring if we watch the top teams every week. Like, I don't want to watch Juventus play them and Real Madrid play them and Barcelona play them and then play them. Like, it'll get boring and tired. You guys are the same people who play foot every day. You people are the same people who play Ultimate Team every day. I know that's the same thing, but I just clarify. You guys are the same guys who go on the seasons online. You play multiple games over and over and over with PSG against Manchester United or PSG against Real Madrid or Barcelona against Chelsea. Like, people, when they play video games, which is – this is Half Hope's point. You guys use the same teams over and over.
Use the same freaking – no, my thing is that –
it's classical every time when you go on online. You're not sick of it. Stop lying.
If it's boring – I want you to, next time you play FIFA, I want to see Lugo against Scunthorpe.
Dagenham and Redbridge against
Coventry.
That. Where is that? You don't see it. You guys use the best players because you collect the best players. You give EA all your money to get the best players in one place. Florentino's looking at that like, well, I guess they like all the best players in one place. Why don't we do that? Not that he plays FIFA, but, you know, like that idea of collecting all the good... The Champions League is popular for a reason. It's not the group stage. It's when the best teams play the best teams, everybody watches. Put it this way. People complain that, oh, man, Arsenal used to get Barcelona a lot. Bayern Munich is drawn with Real Madrid a lot. PSG get drawn with Chelsea a lot. Y'all still watch. Nobody. I've not seen anybody who's like, you know what, I'm not going to watch Chelsea against Barcelona because I've seen it five times. This is the eighth time I've seen it. You know what? I'm not going to tune in. I just can't. I'm sick of watching Messi. Like, I can't take him. Not never. To quote Cat Williams. Not never in the history of... I can't say that word, but I can't. But not never has that happened. You guys love football. We love football. We like watching the best play the best. All the metrics show it. Whenever top teams play... there's more tweets, there's more views. Half Hope will tell you on his channel. The games where the top teams play, that's the time that you get probably the most views on YouTube. Why is that?
It's obvious.
People give a damn. So that you know that and can, if you could synthesize that into a product, you'd be an idiot not to try it. So I don't buy, we'll get sick of it. The sport's been going for 150 years. It's only getting more popular. You're not going to get sick of the top teams playing the top teams. So stop lying. If y'all really, really, really loved the little guy and the underdog, we wouldn't have debates about should we still have FA Cups and League Cups. Y'all stay to, I don't care about the FA Cup. The FA Cup is the. Why? Because you don't want to watch Brentford against, I'm not trying to disrespect teams, but y'all not trying to watch Port Vale against Tomato Chips FC. Like, come on. Y'all want to watch the best against the best, which is why when we get to the final of the FA Cup, now, oh, people care. Chelsea against them or Arsenal against United or whatever it is. We're predictable, and we don't get sick of the top teams playing the top teams. So, Florentino, I can't say I trust you or I believe in you, because I think eventually the president of the Super League will become just as diabolical as the president of UEFA. But I will give you a chance. Because I already know what UEFA is. So that's where I'm at with it. All right. It's an hour in real time. So I will let you evacuate the premises, my friend.
Shout out to the people. All I have to say, man, is Socrates says fuck.
All right. This has been the Talking Tactics podcast. Again, we thank you guys for listening. We will see you guys next week with the season preview. You know, we'll give you predictions on top four and all that good stuff. Will we have the Community Shield to talk about? Maybe.
I think it must be this weekend, isn't it? I think Community Shield should be this Sunday because the Super Cup is next Wednesday.
So that's Leicester against City.
Yeah.
we'll have some stuff to talk about. Who knows? Maybe City will have some star players in their 11 that are new. Again, thank you guys for listening. Remember to check us out on all the social media, links are in the description. I just ran two sentences together there. Halfhope, where can people find you?
You can find me on halfhopefootballhot.com.
That link is also in the description.
C-O-M, please, thank you.
If I didn't say, I'm at Daniel to look. Remember, hit us up on Twitter. We're on Patreon. Just check the description. Talking Tactics Podcast, sometimes funny, sometimes serious.
Always football.
Indeed. Peace.
One love. Sports Social Podcast Network.